the University Tower Chimes, bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today on the coast of Lake Huron in Oscoda, Michigan. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here.
I am also entertaining the very real possibility that it's just a green screen and you got like a small oscillating fan in front of your desk. I know, Dave. I know. That, it's just funny.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't put it past you. I wouldn't put it past you.
Actually, in the cottage, there's a fake beach scene on the wall. I thought about doing it from there if I had to. That's all. But no, I'll do it out here.
Awesome.
It's too nice. So, anywho.
Also in a fun place because it's got lots of books, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
Good to be here. Hey.
Glad to have you. It was totally awesome. It's only we had Faces for Radio, as I've heard Dave say before. Your cat was perched perfectly on the back of your chair just a few seconds ago. It really was quite a scene.
And then she couldn't quite figure out what she wanted to do. So now she's sitting in the chair with me.
That's all right. She wants to be on the show. Can you blame her?
I'm just a ham. Come on. I'm a little ham.
15 minutes of fame.
Yep, exactly. So how was this week's courses treated you, Beth?
Fine. Things are going okay.
Nice. Continuing around the horn, I see Professor Jim Tubbs is back in, well, not black, but checkered. How's that?
The checkered, yeah. A checkered past, checkered present, you know.
How was the last week, Jim?
It's been pretty good. Pretty good. My classes are good. The weather, unfortunately, stayed hot until the day after my classes met.
Of course.
As soon as it turned autumn on the calendar, the temperature just plummeted. But I'm kind of enjoying this now. It's nice.
Crisp. There was no AC in commerce and finance today, with me, it doesn't matter. It'd be 30 below and I would be sweating. I'm not kidding you, but I was missing the AC a little bit.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. Continuing around the horn and finishing up, last but most certainly not least, Professor Aaron Bell is back with us.
Hi, everyone. I promise not to blurt out any errant answers. No, I can't make that promise.
Please don't.
We do it all the time. Yeah. I mean, what would the show be if people made that promise?
It would be silence all the time.
30 minutes of silence.
Yeah, exactly. What was the famous rock band that added an extra track to their record that was just like, you know, 10 minutes of absolute silence? I know there's something out there about that.
There's a few. We actually had a really good conversation. I bet Dave Chow knows some of these like really cool Illuminati bands from the 90s in Detroit, but there's just like, you know, like the Detroit space rock scene where suddenly you think the CD is over for half an hour and then it's just like noise and the band escapes me. But there's a few, I want to say like Radiohead might have done that at one point.
Yeah,
that sounds like Radiohead.
Awesome.
And actually, now if you want to talk about goofiness, back in my dad's coffee shop, they used to have 3 minutes of silence on the jukebox.
Wow.
So you can actually pay for silence.
Oh,
I like that.
Now that's interesting.
So you could actually talk to your date for 3 minutes.
You hope.
Right.
Or you might want to throw in a couple of extra quarters for real loud. So,
right, exactly. Well, folks, I think I just opened up a nice little possible treasure chest of future questions because, you know, this is a program where you send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Nice little set of questions here. Ask the professors. My name is Ray Farage. I'm in Professor Oljar's Symbolic Logic. This is from almost exactly a year ago. I have attached a Word doc with 10 questions on one of my absolute favorite subjects. These actually sound pretty interesting. It's on motorcycles. He signs the message happily, Ray Farage. So, and he was an absolute wonderful student, member of the Chem Club, even though he was an engineer. Is hopefully headed towards medical school now, but I'm pretty sure that he graduated recently. So, Here we go. The theme for the trivia questions is motorcycles. Let's see. The first formal motorcycle manufacturing company was founded in what country?
Germany?
Germany.
No, that's not what it says here.
England?
It says England, Jim. Yeah, it does. It says England. What was its name? That's a little bit esoteric. I'm not exactly sure. I can even give you a clue. Just going to jump over. You know, the first one is done for you. It was Hildebrand and Wolfmuller.
Whoa.
Was the name of the first company in England.
Yeah, which sounds German.
Yeah, it sounds pretty German, actually.
Yeah.
Not a British company, then. I don't know.
They migrated, you know. They...
Das Motorbike.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, their rulers were Hanoverians. They were all married to Germans and intermarried anyway, so maybe it makes sense.
There you go. So the world's fastest production motorcycle, I think that means commercial production motorcycle, is made by a company that starts with the letter K from Japan. Do you know what it is?
Kawasaki.
It's Kawasaki. Oh, the Ninja H2R is the world's fastest production, consumer production motorcycle. That's right. What is the fastest recorded speed, according to Guinness, that a motorcycle has ever gone in miles per hour?
Uh-oh. We need Kendra to settle this, won't we?
150.
You know, it's quite a bit higher than that.
Oh, really?
Wow, okay.
220.
368.
368.
You know, I'm giving this one to Professor Chow. 373.36 Whoa. Miles per hour. I don't know if humans were ever meant to go that fast.
Boy, I'd hate to wipe out at that speed.
You know, did you folks see the movie? Was it The Last Indian with, who was in that movie? I think it was Hannibal Lecter. Who played him?
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, yes.
I don't know that one.
The Last Indian. Great movie. Eccentric old man. Went out in the salt flats and just a racist Indian motorcycle.
Wow.
And he took a couple spills on that thing and he ended up like, you know, he's pretty beat up, but you know, I guess he broke the land record back in the day.
Okay. Very interesting.
I'm puzzled because of the size of the engine producing right. that speed. I'm a right. little okay.
So they were going downhill with the wind at their backs. There's a big magnet waiting for them on the other side.
And they had some dramatic gearing, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a shot of a slingshot.
Yes, exactly. Hey, profs, what year was the great American motorcycle company Harley-Davidson founded? A hint is fairly recently, over 100 years old.
1922?
I would say 1911.
Actually, this is 1903 here, so it's a pretty old company. And does anybody know the city where they were founded?
Milwaukee?
In Wisconsin.
Indianapolis, wouldn't it?
It says Milwaukee. Yeah. Milwaukee, which I believe we all yes. know means the good land. Yes, that's right. Ooh, wow. Apparently there are 12. Thanks, Ray. This is blowing my mind.
Oh, no.
12 major motorcycle types is what it says here. Do you think you can name five of them? This will be tough.
Types as in manufacturers or...
So I will give one away, even though it probably was the most likely one for us to get. There is sort of a standard, you know, chassis plus engine. There's one that's called, well.
You can get a sidecar.
Yeah, that's all I was thinking of, a little sidecar riding around.
You know, I'm going to give you that because I believe that almost always that's called a tourer, which is one of the things on the list. So let's say we've got two because I'm giving you the freebie with standard.
You can get the ones with the really long handles.
Chopper, right?
Chopper. A racing bike.
Well, I want to say the choppers are usually referred to as what they have here is a cruiser. I'm really hoping that the motorcycle people don't get angry with me for making these judgment calls.
We're going to hear from those motorcycles.
I can hear it now, Matt. They're going to be revving their engines in front of your house tonight.
Can't wait. Right.
If we could just get questions about Sons of Anarchy, the TV show, I'd be golden.
So was it like cruiser, racing bike, ice bike, sidecar?
You know, getting closer.
Chopper.
Also, you can go down the route of, because technically certain other conveyances are classified as motorcycles, even though we might chuckle a little bit in calling them that. Does that help?
Oh,
Scooters.
Scooter is on the list, and moped is actually separate. So that's our five okay. right there. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Would a trike count as well as tricycle?
You know, it's not listed here.
Big wheels. My big wheels.
They make a tricycle Harley.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
The ones we didn't mention were a sports, naked, sports touring, dual sport, off-road, supermoto, and adventure. I mean, who knows with all this stuff, you know?
Supermoto, is that a motocross bike?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, I'm more scared about the naked one.
Right. What does that mean?
Yeah, I know. Ooh.
It's just a muffler. You just ride a muffler wherever you go.
I don't know if I want to ride a muffler.
Back to the basics.
Long shot, professors, if you've been paying attention to the very, very subtle moves of most internal combustion engine companies towards electric in the last couple years, what is the namesake, the last name and the name of the company, of the world's first electric motorcycle that is really catching on quite nicely?
It's not a Honda, is it?
It is not. It's an independent label.
Oh.
Is this the one, the triangular? I'm trying to remember.
I have a coworker here who's like totally into motorcycles, but he's not here. And if he listens, he's going to be like, Aaron, that was so easy.
Phone a friend.
Tesla doesn't make bikes, do they?
It doesn't say that here. It says that it's the Corbin company. Michael Corbin invented the first electric motorcycle. And that leads us to our last question. These were a lot of fun, Ray. Is mm-hmm. there such a thing, true or false, as a hybrid motorcycle, both electric and gas powered?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, that's what it says. Mm-hmm. It is possible. It is possible.
You're listening to Ask the Professor from University of Detroit Mercy. To send questions to the professors, email us at atp@udmercy.edu. The professors will return to answer more questions in just 60 seconds. But first, let's enjoy these Ask the Professor memories featuring longtime show host Edwin DeWint.
And Ask the Professor flashback.
Live on tape from my dining room, the University of Detroit Mercy presents
Unplugged. If we don't get this on the air pretty soon, we'd be too far in the bag to do
I'll
it.
I'll tell you, this is amazing. Yes, the world tour continues and didn't get any farther than this. So.
Hey, this is a great place to be.
Anyway, the University of Detroit Mercy prevents as if they could try as hard as they might.
Successive generations of administrations have tried.
Tried, and they failed.
We're
That's
still
right.
here, and they're gone. What were their names?
I don't know. What are their names now? Who cares?
Dear profs, I think I'm overdue to send in questions. We've had some fun with a couple of what do these have in common questions before, so I decided to try my hand at a set. For each list, the fewer items you hear before correctly correlating the commonality, the more points you get, or something like that. I'm going to put that at the top of my next exam. Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, what's the rubric on this thing? Jeez.
I'll trust your esteemed host to grade you justly and fairly. Oh, sure. As always, thanks for years of fun and info that drives out things like where I left my car keys. All the best, our good friend and question sender, Serial, Nat Pike of Livonia, Michigan. Thanks for sending these in, Nat. What do the following 20th century celebrities all have in common? I will go slow so you can stop me or guess as we go through. Joey Bishop.
Rat Pack.
Joan Rivers.
Comedians.
Late night TV shows.
Yep.
Yeah, Johnny Carson.
I'm going to give it to a combination of Jim and Dave. They've all hosted The Tonight Show to replace Johnny Carson more than 50 times. The list completes with Bob Newhart, David Brenner, McLean Stevenson, Jerry Lewis, and David Letterman himself. Yes, that's right. FYI, David Letterman, just 51 guest hosts.
Ah.
Joey Bishop, 177 guest hosts.
Wow.
So he was on wow. quite a bit more. And of course, Joan Rivers in second place. Yeah.
How many for Joan?
It was 93. So she was up there. Way beyond everybody else but Joey Bishop. Okay, we'll try again. What do these musical performers all have in common? This is pretty interesting. Madonna, Dave Grohl, Justin Bieber, Iggy Azalea, Lady Gaga, Selena Gomez, Paula Abdul, and last but most not least, Pink.
They were all born in Michigan.
You know, it's not a commonality of where they were born or their something about their bodies or how they were raised.
Pseudonyms?
That's actually pretty good. That's pretty good, but that's not what it says here. I like that as a guess, Aaron.
Dave Grohl.
Oh yeah, Dave Grohl. I mean.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Pink.
And I try not to think about Justin Bieber. So
they started as something other than what they ended up as professionally.
That's another great guess, but that's not what it says.
They
here.
Started younger than 25.
Oh. Mickey Mouse Club members or something like that.
Nope. Yeah, right.
They had bologna for lunch.
So let me give it to you this way. And I'm afraid this might be the end because I really can't think of anything that wouldn't, you know, immediately give something like this away. But when I was growing up, my generation, when we heard about the Paula Abdul part of this, it was, quite frankly, a lot of late night TV fodder. It was a matter of comedy and hilarity, if that helps at all.
They were hosts or something on a SNL.
They're short. They're choreographers. They had music videos with cartoon animals.
No, you know, you know what it was?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Was it MC Scat Cat or what was his name?
It was Opposites Attract. I remember that video.
These performers have all been involved in high profile falling off or through stages during their concerts.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Ouch.
Bananas right there.
Never would have guessed that, but how terrible for them.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
And I'm kind of surprised about Dave Grohl. Well,
yeah.
Well, brings the intensity.
Yeah, well, considering he was also a drummer for the longest time, too. So, I mean.
That's right.
Knew about Madonna.
Well, I think Madonna fell off of her bra, yes, so who knows?
Exactly. This one is going to be one to make the brain cells go wild. So stick with me here. It's a longer list. It's about twice as long as the last one. What do the following countries have in common? Vatican City, Paraguay, Monaco, Mongolia, Bolivia, the Marshall Islands, Mali, Belarus, Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, Kyrgyzstan, Ivory Coast, Andorra, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Burundi, Central African Republic, Guatemala, Chad, Tajikistan, Sweden, Uzbekistan, Sao Tome, and Principe. All of these countries, these 22 countries I just listed, have something in common. If you think about recent world events, you might get there.
Currency?
No.
Some medical?
Nothing medical.
Commonwealths or?
Oh, we're getting closer.
Colonized.
Getting closer.
I was thinking British colonies, actually.
Aha, getting close.
Vatican City?
Yeah, the Vatican, right.
High divorce rate. Oh. No,
I've heard about the divorce rate in Mali. It's a killer. It's just a killer.
Yeah, the one in Vatican City is just brutal. I mean,
something about sovereignty.
Yep, getting closer.
Okay.
Well, I just want the credit.
Have I justly given enough clues? You know what? These are the only modern countries as of the printing of this email, which apparently was the 18th of September of 2022, who have never been invaded or governed by the British Empire.
Never.
Wow.
That's amazing. But it's only
22 of the 144 countries of the world.
Well, I mean, you know, there were the Romans and then there was the British.
That's right.
Well, the Union Jack's around, okay? Mm-hmm.
Well, and probably the weather has something to do with their colonizing genius, right? Yes. They're always wanting to go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the food. The food. It's the food. There's no bangers and mash in Monaco. So
this,
and with Liechtenstein and Luxembourg, it was just too small.
Yeah, just
to
don't bother. Just don't bother. Exactly. Professors, what unusual, this has got a pretty good hint already built into it. What unusual trait do the following famous people have in common? Ben Franklin, Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, LeBron James, Dan Aykroyd.
They lefties? Are they all left-handed?
Almost there, Professor Oljar.
Ambidextrous?
Yeah, they can use both of their hands.
Oh, cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we can all use both of our hands, well, but you know, just
they can write with both of their hands. How's that?
Oh,
I mean, I suppose I can write with my left hand too.
But yeah, but Emmett's gonna have better penmanship than you, though. So.
Yes, and that's saying something, let me tell you. Holy smokes. Oh my gosh. What
are we having penmanship issues with Emmett?
Well, I mean, possibly.
Is cursive ruining the poor kid right now?
No, it's the same with all of my boys. They can knock out cursive like nothing, but then they're expected to print for exams. And yeah, without revealing too much, a little dose of dysgraphia makes it very difficult to write. Let me just put it that way.
Oh, dear Lord.
Well, hey, at least they know cursive. I get a bunch of students who tell me they were never taught that.
That's right.
That's not being taught in school anymore.
No, it's true.
Well, schools quit doing it, and then a lot of them picked it back up again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine a child that wanted to study history. They would not be able to read any original documents if they couldn't read cursive.
That's true.
But why did they have to have their exams printed?
I'm guessing that it's something to do with a universal writing technique that'll be easier to grade, but I'm not the judge, you know. I'm just an educator. I'm not an educator, so.
What would you know?
When I was in school, once we learned cursive, we had to use it.
Professors, one more question, and it's a fun one. The following cities all have something in common: Boston, Massachusetts; Cleveland, Ohio; Mexico City, Mexico; Newark, New Jersey; New Orleans, Louisiana; Philly, PA; San Francisco, California. And last but not least, Toronto, Ontario.
Decent water supply?
No. That's going to be a rough go for Mexico City, I would say.
Yes.
Oh, Toronto's not that much better.
The really long pipe. If something were true, if the world was a little bit different, Detroit could have been on this list. Detroit used to have something that all of these cities currently have, and are continually running into 2022.
Salt mines?
No, that's a good guess, though.
Cable cars?
Yeah. You know, it's streetcars. It's trolleys. Streetcars, yep. Yeah, that's right.
Trolleys, yes. Trams. We gave ours to Mexico City.
That's right. If you knew that we sold all of our streetcars, as my wife reminds me of as the historian all the time, we sold them to Mexico City for a cold cup of coffee or something like that. So,
you know, when they were repaving Livernois, it was really a shame to watch all of those rails coming up, and they were just getting rid of them.
It's true.
When they, you know, could have reinstated the streetcars.
Right. Love that.
We hate those things downtown. Oh,
well, they're kind of a pain to drive over.
Yep.
I never know what the rules of traffic are with that. I've been carpooling with my son, and I'm like, do I get behind it? Do I pass? I don't know. It's
try being a bicyclist downtown.
Nerve-wracking when you're on the road.
It is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
or try being stopped at a stoplight when you're straddling the queue line tracks and the queue line is coming up behind you.
Oh,
well, that's not good.
Nope,
not good at all. Hey, professors, we're going to our favorite place to go, the Burroughs Family Imponderables.
Oh, boy.
It's definitely one that we've never had before because it's super laser focused. What's your favorite bread?
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Bread.
Because I'm just going to throw this out there. Whenever I get a chance, there's this tiny little independent bread store in Petoskey, Michigan, and it makes this Kalamata olive and rosemary olive oil bread that is just, ooh, I could have grilled cheeses made with that bread every day, 10 times a day, and never get sick of it. It's just wonderful. Good.
See, Matt, I thought for sure you were going to go Trenary Toast.
Trenary Toast, sure. You can buy that at Westbourne every once in a while, right? Okay.
Wow.
The Crust Bakery in Fenton.
Yes.
Some of whose products are now being carried by Williams Sonoma.
Yep.
They make a sourdough bread that is the best bread for toast. It's $7 a loaf at Westbourne, and I still buy it. It's the best bread for toast ever.
Awesome.
Okay.
Or a really good dark rye. That's the alternative.
Aaron, what were you going to say?
I was saying there's really no wrong answer. And I feel like I'm being pulled between my, European ethnicities. But I would go with Aykroyd's bakery when I was a kid. My grandma would get these like thick, it's like just white soda bread. And she'd cut me about an inch slice with like butter and jam. You can see I clearly
have. Yeah, that is hard to top. Aykroyd's is hard to top.
But then I do always appreciate a Polish rye, maybe from Hamtramck. I think I like the butter as much as I like the bread, which is probably revealing something about me. But I'm really hungry, too.
So. I know.
I love challah bread, too.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
That's a good one.
So good for French toast.
Yes, it is.
Amazing French toast.
Now, for me, I don't remember the bread brand, but I remember when I was in college, I used to work in downtown Birmingham. On a Saturday, we go to Albin's Bread and Basket at 15 and Woodward.
Albin's.
Pick up a quart of the clam chowder and rye bread by the loaf off the wagon. I have no idea what brand it was, but we just tear it up in little pieces. Didn't care if it was sliced or not, but that rye bread was to die for.
So the family story in our waning minutes here is that Leslie and I had gotten engaged. And the time had come to go scope out some places, both for, rehearsal dinner and then, of course, reception. And I'm just tagging along. I'm putting this together, building the plane as I'm flying. And we had lunch at Albin's. And I'm like, this is really nice. And it had been a number of years since I had been there because I had moved away for grad school. And I'm like, yeah, I could see us doing what we need to do here. And they're like, oh, no. Like, Albin's is just a great place to have lunch. We're not considering this place. We're gonna have all the meetings consider this at Albin's. Yeah. it's kind of sad. I mean, it's a very nice location. It had a very distinct architecture. Yeah. I believe it is an OBGYN clinic.
It now. Is.
But Albin's Big Wheel, right? That was sign.
And the Suburban. Do you remember the sandwiches, Matt?
Oh, yeah. But that's what they were known for. That was the Big Wheel.
The Big Wheel.
I worked there for a hot minute in the late 1990s. Again, because of my love of bread, sandwiches, I don't know. But it was a fun place to work. And
that's cool.
And then clam chowder.
Yes.
Every single time, no matter what the favorite is, we somehow end up with food. Even if it has nothing to do with food, you know? Oh my gosh. I'm afraid the time has come for us to say goodbye, Aaron.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Beth.
Goodbye.
And Dave.
See ya.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.